Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. I'm delighted to see those of you who braved the snow and came here in person today, and welcome to those who are joining us more remotely. We do have a few announcements. First of all, our volunteers for the food pantry tomorrow are Kathleen and Ron McPhee and Peggy Bjerke. Tuesday at 10 a.m., we will have Bible study here. We are watching episodes of The Chosen. We invite you to join us. Wednesday, 6:15, the very last soup supper will be here. So that is Wednesday, 6:15. We will start with soup supper downstairs. We'll move upstairs for worship at 7 o'clock, and our worship will be using Holden Evening Prayer. And thank you so much, Loretta, for agreeing to canter. I hope your arm doesn't feel bad after I twisted it, but thank you for agreeing to canter that particular service. Thursday at 1 p.m. we have bell choir practice, and the bells will be joining us next week. Next week is Palm/Passion Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. So in preparation for that, you will see that we have our little slip here for Easter, because Easter is now rapidly approaching. So what we're going to do this year is to ask for donations for two large Easter lilies. And then if you would like to bring other colorful flowers for the altar, we would appreciate that as well. Whichever one you choose, whether to donate or to donate money or to bring flowers, if you want to do that in honor of someone, in memory of someone, please fill out this slip and let us know. And we'll make sure that that's announced. Do we have any other announcements? Please join me then in the confession and forgiveness. Please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who brings us safely through the sea, who gives us water from the rock, who leads us into the land of milk and honey. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us for self-centered living and for failing to walk with humility and gentleness. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us for longing to have what is not ours and for hearts that are not at rest with ourselves. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us for misuse of human relationships and for unwillingness to see the image of God in others. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us for jealousies that divide families and nations and for rivalries that create strife and warfare. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us for reluctance in sharing the gifts of God and for carelessness with the fruits of creation. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us for hurtful words that condemn and for angry deeds that harm. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us for idleness in witnessing to Jesus Christ and for squandering the gifts of love and grace. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. Through the Holy Spirit, God cleanses us and gives us power to proclaim the mighty acts of the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering hymn, God is Here, number 526.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son came into the world to free us all from sin and death. Breathe upon us the power of your Spirit, that we may be raised to new life in Christ and serve you in righteousness all our days, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
God speaks to us in scripture reading, preaching, and song. The first reading today is from the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out of the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very, very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and you will cause will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and the skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. And he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet in vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, I will put my spirit within you, and you will live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." The word of the Lord. Let's read Psalm 130 responsibly. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. If you were to keep watch over sin, O Lord, who could stand? I wait for you, O Lord. My soul waits. In your word is my hope. Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love. With the Lord there is splendorous redemption. The second reading is from the 8th chapter of Romans. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But if you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give you life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to John, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent a message to Jesus, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and how are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of the world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death. But they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her, because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he's been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I've said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Once again, we have a very familiar story. Is there anyone here who's not heard this story before? I didn't think so. But it is one of the very touching stories in the Bible. And for me, the part that touches me the most is when both Martha and Mary have the same thing to say to Jesus. "Lord, if you'd just been here, our brother would not have died." How many times have you felt like saying the same thing in your own life? "Lord, if you'd just been here, this terrible thing would never have happened. Lord, if you'd just been here, this accident wouldn't have happened. Lord, if you'd just been here, this person I love so much would not have died. Lord, if you'd just been here." And that's what both of them say. "Lord, if you had just been here." We're told that when Jesus hears that his friend Lazarus is ill, he waits for 2 days. And that sounds really strange to us. Why is he not rushing to the side of his friend? Well, if we look at the times that were given, if he'd rushed there, Lazarus would still have died. By the time he gets there, after delaying for 2 days, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. So if he'd made it to Bethany as quickly as he could have, Lazarus would still have died. What he has done, though, is to wait until Lazarus is really, really dead. It rather reminds me of the Princess Bride, when their question is he dead or just mostly dead? Because there was a thought at the time that the soul stayed around the body for 3 days, and then it went to wherever the soul needed to go. So after 3 days, there's no possibility that someone is going to come back. And so Jesus waits until his friend is really, really, absolutely, positively, without question, dead to come back. And I think how difficult that must have been for him. Because part of him wants to rush to the side of his friend, or actually to the sides of Mary and Martha to console them. And part of him wants to stay where it's safe. He's already had to leave in haste with his disciples to avoid being stoned. They want to stone him for blasphemy. And stoning is not the way he knows he needs to die. So he's gone to a place of safety when he gets this message. And that's why they say, why are you going to go back there? They want to kill you. And I'm amazed at Thomas, the one that we always call Doubting Thomas. Thomas, who stands up so strongly and says, Lord, if you're going to go out there to die, let us go and die with you. It doesn't sound like much of a doubter to me. It sounds like someone who is just ready to follow Jesus anywhere that he goes. And so they go to Bethany, the home of Mary, Martha, Lazarus. And Jesus is met by his friends who are just so full of grief. Most of us have been there. We've had people that we love die. And the amount of grief can be crushing. And that's what he encounters, this village that's gathered together to grieve over Lazarus. These two sisters who now are left alone. Who now are left without their brother. And Martha comes to him and says, Jesus, Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died. And she's stating a fact. She knows that Jesus has healed people who have been crippled, people who have been lame, people who have been blind from birth. If he had been there when Lazarus was first taken sick, he could have easily healed him. So what she's expressing is faith, not condemnation. Jesus, if he'd just been here, he wouldn't have had. Jesus responds to her, your brother will rise again. And she says, I know that. I know he'll rise again. He'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. She doesn't understand what Jesus is telling her is about to happen. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And he asks, do you believe this? And she says, yes, Lord, I believe. She says she believes not only what he just said, but that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world. And then she goes back and tells her sister, Mary. And Mary rushes out and is followed by all those who came to mourn with her. Because they think Mary is just going to go to the tomb. So they follow her and they encounter Jesus. Mary comes to Jesus and she kneels at his feet and says the same thing her sister did. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus sees her weeping and he sees everyone else weeping. And we're told that he is deeply troubled in spirit. He knows what he's about to do, but still, confronted by all this grief, his own grief at what has happened to his friend, his own grief at being part of everyone else's grief, he breaks down and he cries. And as he weeps, others look at him and say, see how much he loved him. And others say, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Had he been there, he could have. And they just don't understand. And then Jesus goes to the tomb, a cave with a stone in front of it. And they think undoubtedly that he's just gone there to touch the place where his friend lies and to weep some more. And instead, he says something that they aren't expecting. Take away the stone. Martha says, Lord, you don't want to do that. He's been in there for 4 days. There's going to be a stench. He's going to stink. I don't know if any of you have ever been around a dead human body. it's been dead for more than a day, but I have. And that's what they're expecting. They're expecting this horrible smell to emanate from this tomb. And Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And so they do. They take away the stone. And I have to wonder, was that smell present when they took away the stone? And I have to think that it was. This odor of death that is unmistakable. And Jesus, even facing that, looks to heaven and talks to his Father in heaven, saying, "First, that thanksgiving that you always listen to me. And I know you always listen, but I'm saying that so that these who are gathered here can hear that I know you always listen to me." And then he says, "Lazarus, come forth." And I don't know that they were expecting anything. Maybe they just thought that he was so overcome by grief that he was doing this unthinkable thing. And instead, they see this figure come out of the grave, restored to health, restored to life. And they don't even seem to know what to do. Jesus has to tell them to go and unbind him, unwrap him, so that he can now move and walk. And we're told that many of those who were there, seeing what Jesus had been able to do, believed in him. But there are others who hear about this, who say that this is the last straw. That it was bad enough to heal people on the Sabbath day, but raising the dead, we need to stop him. And it is because of this miracle, the last one recorded in the Gospel of John, that they decide to put Jesus to death. This one who has raised the dead to life, they think, needs to die. I look at this story and I think, what is Jesus telling us today about being the resurrection and the life? What is Jesus telling us about how he weeps when we weep? What is he telling us when he says that those who believe, even though they die, will live? That promise holds true. That just as Lazarus was raised, just as Jesus will be raised, that God can do what is impossible for humans. And because of that, we know that when we believe in Christ, we move from death to life. That even when our bodies die, we move to eternal life. And that is the promise of this message. That God is there. That God cares. That God loves us with an unbelievable love and calls us to God's own self. The joy of life that will never end. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, where we sing of that wondrous love. What wondrous love is this? Number 666. let us together confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Sustained by God's abundant mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of creation.
You have breathed into us the breath of life. Enliven your church. Deepen our partnership with our companion churches around the globe, and bless the work of missionaries who accompany them. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Your Spirit brings life to creation. Enliven the natural world and restore ecosystems in need of healing. Uplift prophetic voices that turn us to the needs of the soil beneath our feet and the air all around. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. You redeem the world and its peoples. Free us from systems of oppression. Unbind nations and societies from the sins of racism, sexism, and homophobia. Raise up leaders at all levels of government who work to promote the dignity of every human life. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. You weep when we weep. Be present with those who grieve or those who are troubled by illness, especially those who are on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. You hear us when we call to you. Deliver us from the depths of our despair and free us from the worries that bind us. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Your Spirit of life dwells in our assembly. Bless the music ministries of this congregation and all who lead us in hymns of praise and thanksgiving and in songs of lament and prayer. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. You are the resurrection and the life. Even though we die, we will live. With thanksgiving, we remember all your saints who now live in your eternal love. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your steadfast love and your promise to renew your whole creation through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. thank you for supporting the ministries of this church with your tithes and offerings.
Thank you. Thank you.